everyone. Welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
I'm Nat.
And on this episode, we're talking all about how to shop and meal plan like a badass with the lovely Sarah Adler. She is a nutrition coach, healthy lifestyle expert, cookbook author, rail food lover, and owner of Simply Rail Health, a healthy lifestyle company on a mission to educate, teach, and inspire others to live their happiest and healthiest life. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, guys. I'm so pumped to be here. This is so fun. I am very happy that you're here because I need what you've got. Let's be honest.
I was getting a massage yesterday because I just flew back from my honeymoon. So, like, you know, a 27-hour travel day and my back is crazy. Oh. And I was getting a massage yesterday and the lady's like, so what do you do? I'm like, okay, this is really hard to say it in like one sentence, but I can't start describing. I'm like, well, I basically teach people how to eat healthy, but I do it in like a non-aggressive, like non-scary, really super practical way because people are super busy. So it's, you know, like the whole cookbook that I wrote was like 5 ingredients or less, 10 minutes or less, like just how to cook like awesome food that tastes good, that is like super simple. And she goes, oh, you mean like, she's like, I need that. I mean, I guess you mean like everybody in the world needs that. I'm like, I know. She's like, I actually can't think of one person who doesn't need that. I was like, right? I know. That's like, that was my whole point.
Basically, you're like, unbitchifying the way that we cook.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Well, because everyone gets so like wound up by it. I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure to be healthy. There's a lot of pressure to make your food look like it just stepped off some, like a catwalk,
God.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, right? It's sort of like, and then because, you know, you got to take a photo of it before you eat it, of course.
Totally.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is such an interesting thing. Like, I think especially as women that there is this pressure. And what I see a lot of times is like women being like, okay, I'm literally, you know, like I'm a mom, I run a business or I work full time or even part time or I'm a mom full time or whatever it is. Like they have so many different compartments to their life of like, you know, I'm trying to be a good sister and a good mom and a good wife and a good friend and a good, you know, all of these different pieces that really like that is like, you know, are all of our entire lives and everybody's so busy. And I think that a lot of times for women, we have this thing that we do of like, well, if it's not going to be perfect, then I'm just not going to attempt it at all. And like cooking is like the number one thing that I see that happen. And even if you wouldn't categorize yourself as a perfectionist per se, it can be the thing of like maybe it's even like insecurity or like I've never learned how to cook or I've never really learned like actually what to eat. It's only been like what I've picked up from, you know, whatever kind of crazy media stuff like, oh, I read this in the blog or this person, you know, like Oprah says this and then, you know, it shifts and changes like every 6 months or so. And so it can be something where if you feel confused, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel just like you can't keep up with like healthy food in general, what you are supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Like cooking takes this like way backseat to that. And I think that it doesn't have to be that way. I think that's actually really simple. It's just, we get overwhelmed if we can't do it like perfectly or if we feel like we don't know how. And so that's what I'm trying to change and really like empower women. Like, listen, you can do this. It's not complicated, but here's the things you need to know. Mm-hmm. And it's totally opposite everything we've ever been taught about food, especially when it comes to like marketing and different diets and all these fitness magazines and even like people on Instagram. Oh my God, just like the stuff that's out there and like all of the, almost like attachment to like, oh, well, I'm vegan or I'm a vegetarian or I'm paleo or I, you know, putting themselves into boxes. It makes you feel guilty if you're not being completely perfect in any of those areas. So that's what I'm trying to break and free us all from that because we don't need to even deal with that. We're too busy.
No kidding.
That is awesome. I think that is awesome.
I love all or nothing mindset, right? It strikes again, literally when it comes to food.
Yes. Yes, completely. Mm. And I think there's just, it's just daunting to think about all the things that you have to learn or, you know, people are like, I don't even know how to hold a knife properly. I don't even know. And, for me, that's really where it started. Like my mom never grew up cooking. She just didn't really like it. She didn't like having that like traditional role. I think she had, you know, like remembering her mom, like cooking for seven kids is all she did all day long was cook. And, you know, we still ate like meals that she would make. They were just nothing like extravagant or fancy or even like that tasted that great. Sorry, Mom. She knows. We joke about it.
Well, you know, the other thing though, you know, when I was growing up, healthy food was brown. Like if it wasn't brown, it wasn't healthy. It was like boring, brown, ugly. And now, I mean, I guess we do have social media and whatever to thank for that, because it's kind of gone and made healthy food cool and beautiful. And, you know, and then there's some people like you that we can insert in that can help us to make it in a way that still looks appetizing. It might not be like I said, catwalk worthy, but that's right. Okay, because we don't live our life like that anyway. So right. how do we do this? Like, how is it that we can have all of that and you know, save time and save money and still come up with the goods?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, for today, what I really wanted to talk about, because I feel like it's probably the most like nitty gritty practical piece of this, is like how to navigate like the store and just the process of like planning and prepping your meals. Because, you know, there's tons of recipes out there. Like, you know, that I have a whole cookbook on like 150 different ways and things you can try. I think that's not like what most people need. There's so much of that inspiration out there, but it's like actually knowing like, okay, here's a few guidelines. So I wanted to share with you guys some of the guidelines that I use of like how to not waste so much food, how to not like spend so much money at the grocery store, how to have somewhat of a plan like before you go into your weeks. And I say all of this just, you guys should know that I'm much more of like a creative brain. And so for me to have like a set meal plan doesn't necessarily work for my life. I know it works for a lot of people, and I have meal plans that I have every quarter that people buy online. So that option is there. But what I wanted to share today was more like, okay, if you don't want to have everything planned out to the T, if you want to have some freedom and, you know, ability to go out to eat or to say yes if you want to go out for drinks or happy hour, or, you know, have a little bit more freedom and flow in your life, you can still do that while also kind of, you know, planning just a few basic things for the week.
Go for it. I want to hear those guidelines. I'm so excited because you said that. You said all those things, and I was just like, oh, my God, I can't wait to hear what her guidelines are. Take notes.
Okay. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is that it's this thing that we all do, especially, like, healthy eaters or people trying to be healthy. Like, we'll go into the grocery store or the farmer's market or wherever, and we're like, okay, great. Like, it's like Sunday or Saturday, and you're like, I'm going to eat really healthy this week. Like, I'm going to, you know, you go into the store, you're like in the produce section, and you literally buy like 5 million vegetables. You're like, oh, this will be great. Like, I'm going to eat salads every day. I'll like juice this thing. I'm going to, oh yeah, that's great for smoothies. But the mistake, I think, is that there is literally no plan. Like, you're just like buying things and you feel good about buying them, but there's no way that most people can actually go through all of those things. So my first tip would be have a plan for every like stinking vegetable or fruit that you put in your cart. Like, you have to like think about it in a way of like, okay, what am I going to use this for? Like, specifically, is this for dinner? Like, how many nights am I going to probably be home this week? And if it overwhelms you to think about like the full 7 days, think about it like just for the next 3 days. 3 days ahead, you probably know pretty much maybe what you're going to be doing. So having a plan for that, I think, really like cuts down a lot of the waste, because you feel good about buying vegetables, but it does not feel good when you have to throw them all out.
Let's face it, we feel good about buying things. We're women. Yeah. Like, we buy a new dress, we feel good. We buy a lettuce head, we feel good.
Totally. And that's like sometimes half of it. You're like, see, like, I'm making the investment and the time here. Like, why is this not working? And something that I think that helps if you're kind of more on the more freestyle like way of thinking about this is I like to buy vegetables that are like multi-purpose. So things that, you know, sort of depending on my mood or depending on my cycle time or depending on, you know, a lot of different things, that like whatever vegetable I'm buying, I could use it in at least 3 or 4 different ways. So like for that reason, I know like we talk about kale all the time, but like kale or spinach, right? You could make a green smoothie with that. You could also use the same thing and use it as the base of a salad. You could, you know, puree it into like a pesto sauce that you put over chicken, or, you know, something where it's not just like a one, you know, one
stop. Basically, we're not going to juice sweet potatoes.
Right. Exactly. I mean, some people do, I think. But
do they? Really? That's one thing I've never heard of. I've never heard anyone juicing a sweet potato or a potato for that matter. But I totally love that. I get
that. I think
that's
wrong, guys. Yeah. I don't think that can't be right.
There are many other uses for them, but I don't think juicing is one of them.
Not so much.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, even the, you know, basic thing like carrots, right? You could dip that into hummus. You could do it in a white bean dip. You could chop them up and like use them as a base for soup. Like carrot and onion, that's pretty much all you need for any kind of soup. You can put them in a salad, you know, so things that kind of do multi-purpose, especially if your weeks get kind of crazy and out of hand. So this is more for people that it is a little bit more freestyle, right? Like that's a good thing to think about. If you know for sure, like the amount of times you're going to be home, probably the different dinners, if you're making stuff for lunches, you can go a little bit more with at least just having a plan for everything that you put in your cart, or some kind of vision for it. The multi-purpose one helps on super busy weeks, definitely.
Yeah, that's I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. I can take a lot from that. So I want to know, because I'm really, you know, like you said, you get all excited and you buy all this produce and then, you know, it goes off and you're like, oh, that was a waste of money and time and effort. How do we avoid that?
Yeah. So in the case of, let's say you did go overboard and with the...
Yeah, veggies? And I always look and go, oh, that pumpkin would have been so nice, but now it's green.
Yeah, totally.
It's probably not going to work anymore.
It's like the bane of every woman's existence, isn't it? Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So I think there's actually a lot that you can do, like that you can freeze. So when see things like starting to go bad, like bananas, let's say, like you just peel them and like cut them into, you know, 3 different pieces. And that's the perfect thing for smoothies. And smoothies actually taste better when the banana is frozen to begin with. Same thing. You can freeze avocado. You can freeze kale, and like especially for smoothie purposes, if that's something that you like to make, that those things can be easily, so you can freeze spinach, freeze kale. I've had clients that make like Ziploc bags, like the big Ziploc bags, and they just put everything for one smoothie in each bag and just keep it in the freezer. And then they just dump it and then they put water and ice in and blend it and they're done.
I need them to come and organize my fridge.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But that is an awesome idea. Yeah.
Yeah. You can freeze a lot of things. You can also cook, like let's say it's, you know, more like winter time. So it's like cooked carrots or cooked, I'm trying to think, like onions, or you do a bunch of roasted veggies. You can always like blend those with some chicken broth or vegetable broth and turn it into a soup. That then you can freeze. If you have any types of herbs, so herbs are a really big one that they, like you buy them in the little pack and then you use it for like one recipe and then the rest goes bad. So
I hate that, by the way. Somebody needs to rethink that whole packaging system.
I know, totally. So here's what you can do. Like for most of the green herbs, like basil and oregano and even cilantro, if you take the rest of the herb, and you can mix and match them. If you have a little cilantro, a little basil, a little parsley, whatever you have, you blend the leaves with a little bit of garlic and olive oil and sea salt and pepper. And it's like this like herby sort of pesto like sauce that then if you get the, have you guys ever seen the, like those little silicone ice cube trays? Like they're Lexi. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So if you pour the sauce into those little trays and freeze them, and then when it's frozen, you pop out the little cubes because they're flexi, so it's easy to do, and put those into a separate Ziploc bag, then you have like single servings of these like amazing, delicious sauces that, let's say you have, you know, like just a bag of quinoa in your pantry, right? And, or you have like a frozen chicken breast or like a bag of frozen green beans, and then you don't have time to go to the store. You can take like this very plain, basic thing, like bag of frozen green beans, and you put this amazing sauce, like one, you cook them in the pan and just drop the cube on top. And you have this, like, all of a sudden you're like elevating that meal. So super easy. So you're saving the stuff that would have gone bad. You're turning it into something that you could use, and that being frozen, it stays and keeps for a really, really long time. So really good when you, you know, we all have those weeks where you just, you don't even have time to go to the store. Yeah. So great to have stuff like that on hand.
Oh, so good. I think there's a really, really good recommendations. And I honestly, when talking about this, I really feel like this is every single woman's conundrum, no matter what country they live in, it doesn't matter. And whether they have kids or don't have kids, every client I talk to, it's the same thing. Everyone feels completely overwhelmed by cooking for themselves and cooking well for themselves.
Right. Yeah. I think it is a thing. And I try to think about like why or like what is it? And I think a lot of people, we have this thing with like the pantry where we like buy a bunch of random stuff and we like put it in there and then we never use it. And it's sort of like this like stressful, like messy thing.
Yeah.
And so I try to encourage people to like, okay, if you can go in there and like clean everything out, like just do a big purge, like get rid of the stuff that has expired, get rid of the stuff that you never use. It's like the same thing as like a capsule wardrobe, but just for food. Like you want like the heavy hitters, the things that like do multiple like purposes or that you use all the time. Without having like tons of clutter. Because if it's cluttery and if you feel like it's like kind of smells in there, it's like stinky or stressful, then you're not going to want to go in there. It's like such a deterrent, I think, to cooking. So having a pantry, even if it's tiny, I have like the world's tiniest pantry, like known, and it's what I do. I have like a, you know, food blog and I do food photography and I, you know, made this cookbook all in my house with this teeny tiny pantry. So if I can do it, you can do it. and I just think there's so many things that you can have that don't take up a lot of space, but that you can use it again in this sort of multi-purpose way. Mm-hmm. That you can create things even without having gone to the store if you didn't prepare at all, like come back from a really long day and just having things, a few things in the freezer, a few things in the pantry, and then, you know, hopefully getting some fresh produce in there if you can. But if not, there's nothing wrong with like, you know, a can of beans that are rinsed off and some frozen veggies, especially if you have like an awesome sauce or something to go on top of it.
Okay. My husband is all about the sauce. Like if there's nothing to make it, he's like, I need something that's lubricating. I'm like, oh my God, just eat the damn thing.
Lubricating. That is so wrong in so many ways, but it's good. I love it.
I know, right? But it's what he always says to me. He's like, I can't swallow it up. I'm like, oh my goodness, just eat the food, mate. Eat the food. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. But, and it can be like a fun thing too, even for really simple foods, is having like a, I don't know what, not like a lazy Susan, but like a little condiments like section where you can almost put it out on the table. And, you know, if it's hot sauce or if it's, you know, mayonnaise or even like jarred pesto or sun-dried tomato paste or ketchup or, you know, things that people can kind of customize, whoever you are feeding, it kind of makes it a little bit more fun and interactive to have those things there.
Mm. I love that idea too. So many good tips. I was wondering about your cookbook and how, you know, like what if someone's just starting out, where do they start? Do they get your book and then they start with recipes in there? How, like what do you suggest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the newbies.
Yes, totally. I love the newbies.
They're, I was just going to say too, by the way, Nat, if you see this cookbook, it is a freaking Bible. It's so incredible. Oh. I'm in awe of Sarah and
need
her
to see it. I have a feeling I need it in my life. I have a feeling.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. Yeah, and they actually just did a Kindle version too.
So oh, you did?
People can like.
Oh, so there's no excuse then, really, is
yeah,
there?
Yeah, you can get it on your iPad, and it's, you know, a little bit. You can take it and like travel and test some things out. But the best place to start for sure would be the make ahead section. So of the book, there's everything. There's like smoothies and breakfast and brunch ideas, healthy cocktails, healthy desserts, you know, entree, salads, dinners. But the best, like literally the most used section of my book, like the dirtiest pages already for me, are in the make ahead section. And what that means is just like salads and things and dishes almost like deli style, like things that you can make one day and they actually get better the next day and like even better the next day after that. So it's like if you get the most bang for your buck, like for the, your time spent in the kitchen, most of them are around like would maybe take you 10 minutes max to make. And then you kind of toss it with some, you know, vinegar or olive oil, basically just like sea salt and pepper. And like the way that it marinates, it just gets better over time. And so you can use those as a base for a lot of different things. You could add in, you know, like some organic sausage or some pulled chicken, or, you know, put the make ahead dish over a green salad or turn it into tacos or lettuce wraps, or it just gives you a good basis for the week. And or mostly for me, it's like I'm starving when I come home. I'm like open the fridge and I'm like eating it right out of the fridge. So I mean, if I'm being real, that's like how it usually goes.
Me too.
So though I think those like hands down are the best place to start because you just get so much use out of it. You can use it for multiple different meals. And you're not having just like, okay, you're hungry, now you have to start cooking, you know, and that's not always the most fun thing to do when you're like really hungry.
No, that is actually bad.
Impossible.
That's bad news. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And then you end up eating whatever you're making at the time and then you sit down to eat it with a family and you're like, I'm not really hungry anymore, but you guys go ahead.
Yeah, and you've been eating in that state of stress, standing up ravenously, scarfing
yes.
food down
yes.
or ingredients. It's ridiculous.
Totally. Yeah, that's not
totally. Yeah, so cool. To have something ready where you're just like, okay, just put this over salad greens and there's my meal, just saves a lot of the stress and the hassle. And it's good. It's like just super satisfying stuff that's going to keep you full, that you're not going to have to like go back and get a snack like an hour later.
So I was going to say, I think that that's so awesome. What do you think about the sort of Sunday meal prep for the week kind of thing? Because I suck at that. And I'm fascinated by people who do it because it really is great. Like you see it on Instagram and you see all their little portioned out meals. And I can't even wrap my head around how that happens. So
yes,
I'm really curious about that.
Totally. I think it's really it's a personality trait thing. For some people, it really works. And for other people, it's like, there's no way in hell that's happening. Like there's
but basically, Nicole, like, don't even pretend to try.
Like
it's exactly, not even on like, your radar, babe.
Okay.
If it
it's not for
work,
you.
Yeah. If it doesn't work, then like you don't need to be forcing yourself to be in a certain box or do something. I think there is something to be said. So even for people who are more like, you don't want to have everything meticulously planned out for your entire week, I kind of use a strategy for myself of like, okay, I'm going to do one sort of meat-based dish, one make-ahead dish, and then have stuff for like salad or smoothie ingredients. So for me, like cooking for one and like for two people, that generally seems to work. And that can last you a good like 3 or 4 days, like just with, you know, shredded chicken from a crock pot or, you know, turkey chicken sausage, or, you know, you make meatballs, or you make lamb burgers, or, you know, even just having like the nitrate free sliced turkey, like for super busy weeks of like you have some sort of like good hearty protein and some avocados, maybe some kale, spinach, lettuce for different types of salads, and then you have one sort of make ahead dish. You can combine those three things in multiple ways, and so that would be the way to go if you're not into like the super planned out thing. Even when I write my meal plans every quarter, I have people, they go to the store once, but like their prep is sort of spread out throughout the week. It's only 3 hours of prep, like total for all of the meals. But I spread it out because I just think it can be a little overwhelming. And Sundays can be like really busy for people. And it's like time to spend with your family. And even with the best intentions, I find that then it goes back to that perfection thing of like, if you didn't plan and prep all your meals on Sunday, then you just like, oh, screw it. You know, like all bets are off this week. So I kind of try to encourage people to be more, a little bit more in the gray zone with that of like, okay, just think like the next couple days ahead, or if you are going to do like a meal plan situation, then maybe making it where you're just doing 10 to 15 minutes of cooking, you know, every third day can be something that works a little bit better for people for the long-term game. And that's what we want, you know, not like going crazy with the meal prep and then you get overwhelmed and stressed and it doesn't always work every week.
I love that. I love the other thing, you know, that I find really useful too is seasonal habits, like, you know, and being okay with kind of doing the same meals throughout winter and then doing the same meals throughout spring. And that's kind of the way that our bodies are designed to mm-hmm. be fed and nourished as well, you know. It's very interesting, though, what you've got to say. And I think there's so much for us to learn just in breaking it down and keeping things simple and achievable. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the take home for me is that it's possible and you don't need to have heaps of time to do that. And thank you so much for showing us that. Sarah, where can our listeners find you? Where can they get their hands on this fabulous Bible that Nicole explains?
Yes. So the cookbook is on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called the Simply Real Health Cookbook. And then my blog is at simplyrealhealth.com and Instagram, Snapchat. I'm trying Snapchat. I'm still new to it, so I hesitate to say it.
Jump in the deep end. I feel like the biggest Wally on Snapchat. And then people will say to me, oh, your Snapchat's so funny. I'm like, oh, really? Because that's not really what I'm not trying to be funny.
Well, I think your Snapchat is absolutely hilarious. And Sarah, I watched one of your videos too with the coffee maker, and that cracked me up as well. I am hopeless at this Snapchat thing. I do like one video every 2 weeks and it's 10 seconds.
That's okay.
Long.
No pressure. Okay.
No
pressure.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much for joining us. What's your handle on Snapchat just so I can find you?
Oh, yeah. Snapchat is Sarah Adler. So ADLER0.
There you go. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then everything else is just at Simply Real Health.
Perfect. Well, like I said, thank you so much for joining us. For everyone else, you can join us again next week for more Girl Talk Gone Menstrual. But in the meantime, if your hormones are screaming for more, be sure to check out Not Precious, previous Period Party episodes. It's such a mouthful. And, of course, if you love what you hear, please, please take 3 seconds to rate the podcast because we would love that on iTunes. But until next time... Bye, guys.
Bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye, guys. Thank you. Bye.